Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's call. We are working within the context of the disorientation response, and we'll be addressing the transformation of grief into dispersion and letting go, which is its healthy role. Ah, my sound is static. Let me do that and see if that helps. Okay. So, yay, I'm glad that helped take care of that. The other thing I want to mention is obviously I'm not in the usual location. I am out of town at an Airbnb, and I'm hoping the Wi-Fi is okay. And on that note, I'm going to unplug my phone from my computer just to help that out a little bit. It seems to, I don't know why, it seems to do something. Maybe someone who knows anything about tech can explain that, but I haven't figured it out. So the Zoom quality of the call that I was on earlier today seemed to hold. There was the momentary glitch here or there, but I'm not anticipating anything too bad other than maybe the odd hiccup of a second or two. If you're noticing it problematic, the recording, for anyone who is joining live, the recording will have that all cleaned up, so there won't be any issues with that. If there's anything in particular that you're like, I really want to hear that again, it'll be available there. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for the messages. Okay. And I want to wish everybody a beautiful, happy summer solstice. Wow, I honestly think it was just winter solstice, like 2 days ago it feels like. Time has been flying by this last 6 months. So I was reflecting the other day on where life had been about 6 months ago at that solstice and all the adventures that I'd been on. And in this 6 month, I often see the solstices as times where things come up and then things where they get addressed and there's an evolution of sorts. So it's often a helpful check-in for me. And as we see in this part of the world anyway, summer solstice, I should acknowledge the other folks who are joining us from the other hemispheres, in which case it would be winter solstice. So I invite you to notice what's been expanding and contracting in your world based on those rhythms in the natural world. And that might speak to or inform some of what else has been going on for y'all. So I'm curious if that plays in at all in today's session. We'll see how it ties in, if it does. Yeah, solstice blessings right back to y'all. All right, so as we begin to settle in for today's journey, I'm going to invite you to find a nice comfy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed as we work together. And as you settle in, beginning here, perhaps by means of breathing, every inhale an opportunity to call in and to receive. An opportunity to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And any part of that that feels pleasant to neutral, I invite you to take a moment to savor, to drink that in, and to receive it for the nourishment that it very well might be. And I invite you to, on that note of savoring nourishment, purposefully locate something that feels really nourishing, really pleasant. That might be outward, that might be inward, wherever your gaze goes within all that. And as you scan, invitation to look in places with fresh eyes, looking in new directions, scanning around. And wherever that gaze happens to land, taking time to be with it, and to notice what it is you like the most about it. Maybe there's a part of it where the light and the shadow play well together. Perhaps it's the shape or the size, what it reminds you of. Just gently drinking that in, breath by breath. And as you drink that in, breath by breath, drinking it deep inside of you, one breath at a time, in a way that lets you notice what's happening inside of you as you receive this nourishment. What happens in the rest of this body mind as you continue to receive and savor this. Yay for nourishment. And on that note, thank you for being here. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet connection of this moment, of your existence, and us all gathering together in this space. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest of thank yous to all of those that have come before, that have caretaken, that have stewarded these lands, and that continue to do so. Thank you to those preserving this planet to support our existence, of those that came before and those yet to come. And thank you to all the supports that make it possible for you to be here in this way. Thank you to your villages, so to speak. Blessings on your journey today. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And as we get started for today, we're working with lymphatic drainage in through all the neck musculature. And we go here a fair amount. And in these muscles, in the muscles of the neck, the SCM, that outer sort of one, and then also the inner scalenes, and the ones that go even deeper. We're working with all of them. And they tend to correlate to the energy of the earth element. And the earth element also correlates to our experiences of our family. So being really mindful that whenever we're in the neck, in addition to them, as I've referred to the orientation capacities that they provide, they also connect us to our families. And we can think of this as lymphatic drainage through any of the conditioned responses within the family around how present one should be, how much we should notice, how disassociated or numbed out we should be, versus how here can we be with everything. And if we consider that to be almost like a genetic trait that gets passed down through the family lines, imagine running lymphatic drainage through that all. And as that clears through the waters, the family lines in this way, it's going as well into the very bones, including all the bones that are in the neck, including that hyoid bone that floats, and the vertebrae, the spine in the neck, cervical, as well as also that cartilaginous tissue around the Adam's apple, so to speak, that protects the thyroid. And as we run lymphatic drainage through this and all those conditioned responses of how much we should take in and feel and how much we should keep at arm's length, you can also imagine placing a helpful, healthy boundary here. And inviting the energy of the lungs to support that along with the liver. And as we bring in the invitation for a boundary to be here, it becomes much like a boundary between you and all of your other conditioned experiences from the family lines around how oriented you should be or how, again, present you should be. And as we work with this, on the other side of that boundary gets to be anything that doesn't work well for your system. Anything that's no longer helpful gets to be on the other side. And the thing about boundaries is that they're actually quite permeable. They let in whatever works well for you. And they can even, as they set this into motion, this idea of keeping out what doesn't work, inviting in more of what does, it becomes a learning process. And as the body mind continues to learn in this way, we get even more of that momentum building up in a good way. And on the other side of that, again, that boundary, anything that's ready to be let go of, we're actually going to address with a ongoing Sidri for the next week, next 7 days. Just going to start with C, circulation of all those healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal, or for that matter, most of the body mind. Then also balancing yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and then running hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as we work with that, the D for defrag follows, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. We're actually going to bring in the liver for its role and also supporting boundaries in this way, as well as its capacity to organize and to reorganize. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of that rock and hard place type of thinking and mindset, and opening up to other possibilities where it might have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection follow that. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And we're going to actually link that entire Sidri into the eighth house, which is the house of the kidney meridian, to tie into the family lines, as well as to offer opportunities to supportively let the old die and for the new to be reborn, and to have that cycle continue in a way that creates ongoing regeneration, which is, if you think of what the kidneys do within the family lines, they also help to give the essence of sexual energy, of procreation. So they allow for things to be generative and regenerative, much like our experiences in nature of the water being regenerated. So the rains fall down onto the earth, and then as the water gets utilized and the heat builds up from the earth, there's a misting back up through, and how that all works, I would have to look up in greater detail. But there is this ecosystem that regenerates throughout. And as we imagine, that same regenerative capacity is also present, interestingly enough, in the kidney, which is a water element meridian, much in the same way that the water cycles in our earth in a natural, healthy ways. We can overlay that into how this seems to be with the family stuff, so to speak. And as I name that, there's actually a piece of grief here. And the grief is around all the cycles that actually haven't been very regenerative. All the cycles around manipulation, control, all the cycles of abusiveness, all the cycles of hurts and lack of safety, all the cycles of even being in cycles of dominance, submission, potentially slave enslavement, all those old patterns that are more malicious and vicious and not necessarily supportive in this moment for what you're up to anymore. We can also imagine that those get to be gently teased out of this. And in a way, much like our planet can use a little help sometimes in getting out of its rhythms that are cycling toxic things, we can, in a way, think of this as like a detox, so to speak. And as we work with this, linking it through to the liver to help release any sort of karmic toxic patterns here. And as that happens, releasing it through as well to the skin to literally allow for the old to be breathed out through the skin. And then, if you can imagine, as those skin pores release, that might happen through means of sweating, it might be energetic, anything in between. And as that old releases, it makes room for the new to be breathed in. To be breathed in through every single pore of the skin. If you can imagine opening up to receive regenerative nourishment here now, in this way. And as we begin to tease out that toxicity, the grief emerges. It's like, oh, all that old pain that's been here through cycles upon cycles upon cycles. I invite you to imagine that we can scoop up that grief and place it in like a little special bowl, whatever it might have looked like. And as you scoop it up together, as you gather it all together and you bring it into this bowl, I invite you to imagine the nature scene again. And it might be water, it might actually be other elements of nature this time. And just look at nature as it passes through decades of time now, even into centuries, and just see time passing. And there might even be a tremendous amount of change. There might be volcanoes that emit lava. There might be mountains collapsing. There may be landslides happening in a myriad of ways. And as the landscape changes with time, through the eons now. We can look back at that bowl and notice that something in there has changed, that it's different in some way. And I wonder if something that's in there might actually be supportive and healthy to be offered now. And as you take a look at it, you may decide to empty that bowl onto the earth below, or you might decide that it actually needs to be something that you want back in you now that it's had a chance to experience these cycles of life and death and regeneration and all the healing that comes. Yeah, so you decide what to do with this bowl now, whatever feels right for you. It'll be a little different for everyone, and it might be something that I haven't named. Feel free to be creative here. And as we offer that all, releasing the idea that we also need to overly think these things out and letting your imagination play. And as we let the thinking surrender, so too do the neck muscles that are tied into all of those elements of Earth begin to reorganize again. And they begin to coalesce into a cohesive thing where all the neck musculature, front, back, side, superficial, deep, top, bottom, all the directions of all the neck musculature begin to weave together. And I actually see it forming a particular type of tapestry that's traditional to West Ghana or West Africa in the country called Ghana. And I spent a bit of time there, which is why I'm seeing it. It's extremely intricate and colorful. There's lots of bright yellows and oranges and dark, rich blues and reds, interwoven in fine detail, bringing in vibrancy as we weave together all the different threads of your life and all those that have come before and all the ancestral cultural inputs that have varied in all the ways. And as this cloth comes in, I actually see it in a good way, wrapping gently around the neck in a way that offers support. and you actually get to receive whatever feels right from this cloth. Whatever feels right. And if it doesn't feel good around the throat, it doesn't have to go around the throat. It can be just in front or to the side or behind it. And I see it as imbuing the essence of vibrancy, vitality, along with community and connection that this throat, all the neck musculature, might actually be longing for. And as it gets to receive that in richer, deeper ways, I'm reminded of the saying that Africa is the motherland. And it brings in that, like that heartbeat of Mother Earth and all of its rich qualities of mothering and all of its essences of potent new creations and new beginnings. And as we work with that, breathing that in just a little deeper if it's available. And taking time to mindfully receive this nourishment. And I just hear it say, rest here, my child, rest. And that cloth forms now a hammock. And that cloth can still be around the neck and somehow have a double. And that cloth, as it allows for rest to happen, can happen all the way through the throat, the neck. All that it's been attempting to hold up gets to actually rest here and be held. And I also see a second hammock form now for your adrenal glands, which hang out just below your ribcage and your back body, just above the kidneys. And these adrenals get to rest in hammocks. I see them working with hormonal generation and circulation of all that the adrenals do for us at all the stages of life. It's a little different before. It's a little different before and after menopause, but working within all the nuances that the adrenals provide for us, and even the ones that are not yet known. And as we, I'm going to use this metaphor on purpose, cast our nets of our hammock wide here to capture all the possibilities, allowing yourself to rest, and then it all gets to be tended to. And as those adrenals get held, from the back body also releases this idea that you shouldn't get your hopes up. That you shouldn't get your hopes up. And with that, it's actually connected to false rest. It's like this idea of, oh, I just won't get my hopes up, so I won't do anything. I'll just actually veg out or not work towards that goal or not learn about that thing. I'll just do something other than that and distract myself elsewhere. Okay, and as we work with that essence, in a way it creates a sense of I'm resting, so I'm not working or learning or growing in an active way. And that idea of resting is not actually so much resting. This is actually apathy. This is false rest. This is false capacity for nourishment to enter the system again. So as we work with this now, we need to run a cellular repair on that energy that was holding on to the don't get your hopes up. As we work with it, it's actually in the feminine kidney, it's in the left kidney, working with the cell repair to restore the cells back to their fullest potential of health here. And we're actually taking this back through the generations. We're going back 25 generations back, wombs upon wombs upon wombs upon wombs upon wombs. And as we work with that, we can even imagine taking any tendencies that you have around not resting, any grief that's caused you, any wear and tear, wherever that may be in the body. We can imagine scooping that up and actually handing it all the way through the family lines back and back and back, 25 generations back, all the way through. And as it goes all the way back, you don't have to hold on to this out of protection, out of loyalty, or anything else. And along with it becomes a restoration in your capacity for drive and your kidneys and your adrenals. And we're bringing in healthy Mars energy to support that. It's the planetary energy of drive. As we reconnect you to what healthy drive is again, we also need to release low self-esteem from the right kidney, from the masculine kidney, which is carrying the voice of, you aren't doing enough. And as we release that through the connective tissue as well, around the kidney as well as within the kidney on the right side, the two kidneys now begin to actually have an opportunity to also rest. Perhaps for the very first time. And as the kidneys get a chance to rest and also see what healthy drive now looks like and what it takes to produce that healthy drive, the planetary energy of Venus comes in to actually nourish the capacity for that drive to be restored, along with the capacity to notice what you need to do to resource, be resourced enough for your drive to be there. And as we connect the body-mind into the limitless possibilities and potential that is, that exists in the quantum world, and all the energy that's available here, noticing any potential pieces that are in the way of accessing that, and running circulation of all the same healing resources through to them, and any pieces in the way we can thank for their concern around likely wanting to protect us for good reasons, as it's had to do so in the past many, many times. And with it releases that fear of getting hurt, the idea of we should be cautious or overly cautious. Caution is not always a bad thing. And finding this helpful, healthy, and helpful, there we go, middle ground. As we find this, as we support the drive and the rest to both be here, and noticing that healthy balance, that cycle, what that looks like for your body, and that might change day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute even. Helping the system to be adaptable and responsive to those rhythms. And working within the pancreas to support that. As the pancreas works with adaptability and the rhythms of life, along with taking the sweetness and the nourishment of life. And as we gently bring in the pancreas energy to do all that it does around that, feeling the sweetness of the embrace of the universe, of God, of divinity itself, imagining that that can come right through to even the kidneys. If you were to imagine little hands, the kidneys, the adrenals get to be held by. And as these hands hold here and create this awareness of this new healthy balance for you, releasing with it the grief of, I can't always do what I want to do, having potentially more ideas around what it is you'd like to do, not necessarily the energy to address it all. Or perhaps it's the other way around, maybe there's lots of energy, but not necessarily the feeling of creative ideas to come through in its expression. Or maybe it's somehow both of those at various different times. They can definitely coexist. And as we work with that, this little piece of grief that has almost an undertone of ache, of longing in it, a tone of despair, it's held in the low back right between the kidneys in that lumbar spine region. right where the Ming Men hangs out, which is that space between the second and third lumbar vertebrae. As we work with the acupuncture points that make this up, bladder 23 is another side, and governing vessel 4 in the center. This is the pilot light of the body. It gives you your spark, so to speak. And we can imagine opening up the door just enough to let in some oxygen, some light, enough to fuel the fire. It doesn't have to feel like the door is shut. As we open the door, it actually gets to determine where that balance is around how much it wants to let in and how much it wants to keep at bay. And here there's a habit pattern. There's the habit pattern of when stuff goes awry, not asking for help, but instead going internal, getting overly contained, and actually losing your sense of orientation internally. And feeling almost at a loss of, I don't know what to do, but I know I shouldn't reach out. I should just hold this internally, hold this inside of me. That habit pattern, as we release that from the Ming Men, also releases from the governing vessel point right in the center of the crown that controls all of our habits that are also stored in the myelin sheath of the nervous system that coats it. So you can imagine that releasing through the myelin sheath of all the nerves hanging in the space between your kidneys, which is no small amount. As we release that habit pattern, bringing in around the hydration, I see it actually like a rainfall falling from the sky through the point in the center of the crown all the way down through the spine into the space between the kidneys, nourishing anything that's dry, anything that's in need of moisture. And then as I notice, I'm seeing this now as a landscape again of the earth. When I look at the earth that's receiving the rain, the earth looks cracked and dry. And interestingly enough, in all the cracks, there's eggshells. And these are all the eggshells that you've walked on. All the eggshells that you've walked on, period. Whether that be for the family, from the family programming, to be loyal to the family, whether it's something that you've decided to do volitionally of your own course, whether it was taught to you by society, by culture, all the ways where you've walked, hesitantly walked on those eggshells, all those broken pieces of eggshells that you've taken care to tenderly try to walk on, that have nonetheless still somehow burst, have released their own little pockets of grief that are creating excess dryness here within this space between the kidneys. And as we work with that, that rain continues to fall and it turns those eggshells into, I haven't done the research on this, but much like it's done in composting, into new fertilizer. New resources. The earth can actually heal now with these eggshells. And if you feel like it, if there's any little eggshells there that you want to choose to, this might be a bit risque, but feel free to be bold, that you choose to notice that are actually in need of a little rearranging, you might notice that actually I'm done walking on these eggshells. You might decide to jump up and down on them. You might playfully dance on them. You might invite in an older, wiser version of yourself who's got wisdom from all the experiences that you have yet to gain from your life. And as that older, wiser version enters, this Chrome is what I'll call her. Yeah, we can imagine that she is summoning the rain, summoning this wisdom to fall, to nourish this earth below. And as she understands these cycles of how this actually, all those old pains become awarenesses, become wisdom that actually gets to fuel you, that gets to be resources for you. As this continues to cycle, I just hear the words. I'll use my eggs the way I want to. Whether that be for creation of new babies, new life, whether that be creation of new projects, new life in that way, or whether that be the capacity to use all of the wisdom that's come in all of the eggs that we're developing in your mom's womb, in your grandmother's womb, in the great-grandmother's womb, and all the women that have come before. Reminding yourself that there is actually a fair amount, 25 generations back, might be available of seeds that are here. When you think of these eggs, I know we often think of the sperm as carrying the seed, but you can think of these eggs as well as carrying the seed as well in their own way. And creating the necessary, again, spark of creation. Beautiful. And as that comes in, as that continues to cycle, I see all of that unused energy now, creating all the way through the family lines, this thread of golden vitality. As this thread of golden vitality begins to, like a thread, what we pull, and it just gets bigger and bigger. You've, I'm sure, done that with fabric or tears before on clothing or sheets or tapestries. Every individual, every generation, there's actually a bunch of more threads that join, and this golden tapestry begins to weave. And it reminds me of a light version. I don't mean light as in LITE, I mean light as in LIGHT, like the, let me say that better, that was not correct. I don't mean light as in like heavier light, I mean light as in like bright white light or dark light, whatever it might be. And that essence of light begins to weave, much in the same way that that African tapestry I was speaking to earlier. And this time it's coming through your own family lineage and your ancestors. We can imagine this forming a golden tapestry of sorts that becomes available for your ovaries, for your reproductive system, and for your adrenals alike to rest in as it forms its own unique hammock of sorts. And you get to use these eggs, this life, this creative ability, this creation, in any way that feels right for you. So maybe that's rest. Maybe that actually also means you've rested enough and now you're ready to play and celebrate and dance and come alive. And then maybe you need to rest again. It's dynamic, it can offer a multitude of things. And I just see the earth and all those eggshells. Coming back to that imagery, I see the earth cracks healing up. And the rain continuing to seep deeply into the soil below, nourishing all that's golden here, nourishing all that's been woven here. Generations upon generations of vitality now restored all the way through now to this Ming Men, this pilot light of your body. As we restore this with the essence of this weaving, bringing in the energy of the sun. And its golden light to restore your fullest potential of the energy that you have available, as well as bringing in the acupuncture point. It's about four finger widths down the outside edge of the knee on the stomach meridian there. And as we bring that energy in, fortifying the system, replenishing as well. And then, for whatever reason, if you can imagine. Moonlight entering now to nourish specifically the yin, and it's coming for whatever reason through the ear canals, probably just the ears or the processing center of the kidneys. And as that moonlight restores yin energy in a unique way, coming in through the ears, down through the kidneys, down into the bladder as well. The bladder is more yang, but it also needs nourishment. It has a bit of yin into it. Everything does have that balance. And as that restoration happens here, linking this all to the energy of the 12th house, the energy of being able to surrender and allow and make space for this even more. As you do so, laying down to rest any need to want to control how that should all be happening. And just seeing if that invites an even more capacity to let things rest and surrender here in their own unique way. And as you release that need or want to control, releasing any false protection that that was carrying with it. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and receive and drink this in. And we're heading to the area where the upper neck musculature inserts in all of its ways through the back of the skull, as well as actually through the area just below the jawbone, all the way through the front here too. And looking at all the other structures that are here, whether that be blood vessels, lymphatic structures, salivary glands, everything in between. And as we look at this entire region here, releasing this idea that it's wrong or shameful to have a voracious appetite for life, which includes food, sex, which includes desires, which includes the thirst for knowledge, which includes the desire to learn and grow, and everything in between. Lots of things, lots of possibilities here. As you work with restoring and giving yourself permission to have a voracious appetite for life again, running the reciprocal between the jaw joint and the back of the hip joint, the TMJ and the sacroiliac. And as we work with the jaws and the hips, think of this as supporting all your digestive system meridians and being able to receive nourishment, digest it and release it in a way that actually feels good to the system and actually invites in even more. As you restore voracious appetite for life, you would imagine that jaw joint can open up to the point where we can want to take a big bite out of life again. And all those salivary glands might thirst for even more nourishment in all the ways, from the physical to the mental to the emotional to the spiritual and everything in between. What are you hungry for? What are you thirsting for? What are you reaching out for? And as soon as I say reaching out for, I actually see the fallopian tubes. At the very end of your fallopian tubes, there's this fancy word, fimbriae, that are like finger-like projections. They're very frond-like. And I can see them, whether you're actively ovulating or not anymore, see them caressing the ovary. It's like flirting with the ovary. Like, hey, you over there, what do you want to do? What do you want to live with? What do you want to live into? What do you want to create here together? And it's just like gently coaxing this connection. And a healthful way, it's teasing playfully, joyfully. What is it to flirt with yourself and what you want to create again? And as we imagine that, getting to restore the sensual nature here along with the sexual nature, the two get to work together in a unique union, all the way through to those fallopian tubes, all that's getting created gets to be invited in. And as it gets fertilized with your imagination of whatever you want to create and grow into here, you see that little seedling float all the way through the fallopian tubes into the uterus. And as soon as it lands in the uterus, it gets to implant anywhere that feels right for it. And we're just going to begin to playfully work with the cervix here. I actually see one, two, three white feathers. Three white feathers come in. One's black and white. And the other two are pure white. I see them just gently, gently, ever so gently, touching the edges of the cervix and releasing any pain points here that have said, you know what, giving birth to things is freaking hard and painful and it sucks. And any other injuries that it sustained from feeling at times potentially even forced, whether that was through things like an IUD insertion or anytime there's been excess pressure there, which can happen in a number of ways, sexual activity not excluded, and any other times there was medical procedures done that just felt invasive or forced here. Now we're actually just going to let the cervix decide that it gets to open up when the timing is right for it. And as these feathers continue to heal and release any old wounding that have said otherwise, we're going to let that cervix know again, you get to do this in your own rhythm. You get to follow the rhythm of life that works for you best. And allowing to take that sense of sometimes pressure that we put on ourselves, whether we give it to ourselves or we perceive it coming in through others, and releasing that with those feathers again. And as that pressure releases, the cervix begins to open in a way that actually allows for whatever was growing here to have a clear passageway through and out. And what you give birth to might be really interesting, whether that's in this moment or whether that's in the coming days, weeks, months, years, centuries, decades. Whatever the timeline may be, for whatever this project is that you're up to. And noticing that the project might even have its own sense of timeline. And it's said that what happens in the area of our reproductive system and our genitals also reciprocally happens up top, through the mouth and the jaw. And as we do this, it's no surprise that this came off the heels of some of that TMJ to sacroiliac work. I'm actually going to come back up to the jaws again, and to that TMJ joint. And this time, working with loosening up some old adhesions that I have it stuck in patterns that says, I can't actually take that in, I can't receive that, that's too much. And releasing any potential overwhelm. And with it, any grief for actually at the same time that's held in the cervix gets to release here from old pain of things being too much. As we release overwhelm from the jaws and grief from the cervix at the same time, I see the whole body from head to pelvis just gently realign to the spine. Bringing in the essence of a quality of a back bend, which actually allows for the heart to open. Then it falls back into the Taoist arch, where the heart aligns with the sun. Excuse me, and receives programming of the natural variety. It receives stimulus in a good way, through to the very fibers, the very core of your heart, and all that it generates. And as it cycles through the heart, it begins to cocoon the whole body, as the heart energy field does, allowing you to rest here. What is it to be deeply held in the cocoon of your own heart energy field? In the deepest, purest essence of connection there might be. In a way that allows you to also be in not just your own awareness, but somehow reaching out to the essence of community, what it means to also be held with others engaged in these same sorts of things in a way that allows you to open your heart to receive from others as well as from the natural world now. Perhaps others are natural. Perhaps they're also part of this natural world in a way that you don't actually have to protect yourself so vehemently from. As there's any sort of instinct for protection in those ways that are ready to be laid down, bringing in healthy boundaries again in a way that still allows you to invite in more of what you want, but keeping on the other side things that aren't as important. And we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to again breathe and receive however it feels right. Giving that one more breath. If it feels right to you, calling in that resource that we found earlier. Imagine that coming in a way that nourishes you for this next little piece, where we invite in circulation of all those healing resources, the blood, the nerve, and the lymph, along with your resource. And recirculate that now through the skin, through the lungs, as we restore this concept of what it means to have healthy boundaries. And that might hit a point where the essence of boundaries begins to actually dissolve just a little bit. Maybe they don't need to be quite the way you thought they were before. Maybe they somehow become more transparent. Or maybe they actually need the opposite. Maybe they need a little bit more thickening up. You decide. And everyone's going to have different spots where you might even need a little bit of both of those things playing out in different ways. And as the system drinks that in, that it has a choice now. That it's free to decide. We're linking that in as a permission statement now to every part of you. You are free to decide. You're free to decide. You are free to decide. And then we're tapping that out here. Again, invitation to breathe and receive. You're welcome to stay with that resource if it feels right for you. And I have a song. Oh, the choices. Okay. This one is called Circle Round, and it's by Murray Kyle. It's from the album Arrow to the Sun. And I must admit, I had six, seven songs to, eight, my gosh, to choose from. But for whatever reason, this one is jumping off the page. It was a toss-up, honestly, between that and another one called I Am Opening, but next week is our integration week, and we'll be playing with some of these songs, as well as a few others as we work with some breath work. We invite you to breathe here and let yourself rest here.
Circle round in a beacon from the places that you roam. No more time to be burning out there on your own. Now the flames are joined as one, and we can let it be known that we warm by the fire as a beacon in this.
This time we are all this a flame of hope that never dies and warm by the fire. As a beacon in this time, we are all this a flame of hope that never dies. Yahweh, 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 we'll sing it from the sky on the wings of a feather. Listen for our calling cry down through the ages. And we'll sing it from the earth on the song lines of dancing once again into this birth. We are warm by the fire as a beacon in this time. We are born as a flame of hope that never dies and warm by the fire. As a beacon in this time, we are born as a flame of hope that never dies. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. All of the elders calling us to come. Sing again, bring your daughters, bring your sons, blazing a trail of light here as we burn, with our heartbeat as a beacon we return, turn, warm by the fire, as a beacon in this time we are born, as a flame of hope that never dies, and warm by the fire. As a beacon in this time, we are born as a flame of hope that never dies. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. What are colors of our people? Build a bridge of wisdom, illuminate the dark. We will sing this song, circle round, around again, burning the fire bright for every woman, every man. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Heartbeat here called the wildfires, home circle round in a beacon from the places that you roam. No more time to be burning out there on your own. Now the flames are joined as one, and we can let it be known.
Thank you for calling in this medicine. Thank you for bringing all of you to the table. Blessings and nourishment to you all as you carry on with your day and your week ahead. All my love. Bye for now, y'all, and you're most welcome. I'm really happy that was supportive for you. Oh, and yeah, my joy, honestly, to be a part of this, and I get just as much out of that reciprocity of this steady and loving space. So thank you for those kind words. All right, my loves, I'm going to stop the recording here. And if anyone needs any additional support, feel free to let me know.